Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, December 5th, 2014. And with me today, I have my own personal audio expert, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am. I hear that I'm good.
Yeah, I see what you did there. You hear? Yeah, very clever. I also have my expert on Apple's inner workings, especially Apple Pay, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Have I mentioned I love Apple Pay?
I had not picked up on that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I was getting an inkling.
But, you kind of pick up on it over time, and I'm starting to get a little bit of it now. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Smile, and specifically their PDF Pen Scan Plus 1.5 for the iPhone and iPad. And I thought that this would be a totally awesome time to talk about that because it's a great product. So if you're not familiar with this, but you should be by now because you listen every single day, and I tell you with love about these products every day. PDF Pen Scan Plus turns your iPhone into a high-end mobile scanner, document scanner for you. And it's great, first, because it's mobile. Second, because it does its job really well. And third, because once you start scanning documents, you can then take the typed documents that you scan, OCR them, and now you have editable text that you can drop into any other program that lets you edit text and have at it. It's amazingly easy to use. I love that they've improved the image stabilization so that you can be even a little more wobbly when you're scanning documents. It's awesome. Also, you can send your documents to Dropbox and iCloud Drive so that you can access them from other places. And it's just totally awesome. And one thing I don't think I mentioned yet, you can take your documents and turn them into searchable PDFs once you scan them. So,
nice.
Yeah. Yes. So, excellent, versatile utility, something you should be using, and not just because I am, but you should be using this. I will have a link to PDF Pen Scan Plus in the show notes, and thank you so much to Smile for being our sponsor. They are awesome.
Smile Software.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, now they have a jingle. Hey, let Smile know that you like that they're sponsoring our show because they like feedback like that, and they deserve some love. Okay, so the first thing that I really wanted to hop into today for our big topics is this theater that Apple is building at their new campus. And Brian, you wrote about this yesterday. And they're spending what did you say $161 million on this thing?
Yeah, BuildZoom, a site focusing on buildings, found it in a line item in a building permits filed with the city of Cupertino.
So. What does Apple need with $161 million?
$74 million for. And my question is how can you spend $161 million on a theater that's, I kind of quipped about it, but that's not like a multiplex holographic projection system?
The only way to think about that is to compare it to other theaters and other buildings and try to figure out where all the money went or is going.
Well, the problem there, I went looking for that information and I didn't find anything. Perhaps some building experts out there should know, but there are a lot of different kinds of theaters. So a theater that's being a multiplex is going to have different kinds of expenses that Apple's theater won't. I mean, Apple's theater is no doubt going to be intimate, but it's going to be much larger than the current town hall, one would assume. But it won't be as big as, like the Moscone Center or even the Flint Center. I can't imagine it would be anywhere. I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere between like 500 and 1,000 people at the most. And not that that's small.
Brian, I know why it's going to be so expensive. I just figured it out.
Yeah. Oh, do tell.
Sapphire seats.
Of course.
That's certainly an idea. I mean, I figured that they're going to be spending a lot of money on the acoustic properties of this room. I bet you this is going to be one of the best acoustically designed theaters in the country. I bet there's not going to be a seat in the house where whatever's happening on stage doesn't sound great, or whatever is coming through the sound system doesn't sound great. And you know, this acoustically designing a room is an expensive engineering prospect, in part not only because it has to be designed well, of course, but you have to have high-end acoustic materials are not cheap, especially if they're using some particular kinds of woods.
Yeah.
Or wood, even.
Oh, yeah, that can get expensive.
But $161 million. It's how can they spend? It's not why Apple would spend that much. Apple would spend, there's all kinds of reasons why Apple wants a state-of-the-art theater that does every single thing that they want it to do. Apple certainly has the money to do it. I just don't even see how much you can spend that much.
How much would a 4K screen cost that's 10 meters or 15 meters across? That would be expensive. What if they wired every seat? So you sat down, you watched the presentation, you saw the videos, and you were exposed to all sorts of press release materials, and then there was a little flat 32-gigabyte flash drive in the seat. And when you were all done, you just pulled it out and took it with you.
Apple would never do the flash drive thing because it's all iCloud, baby. Yeah. My assumption is that this will be a multi-use facility. So they have a big stage where they can do their product launch announcements.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They can also have live bands perform if they so choose. And it will be designed so that there's a big screen, which of course they'll need for their keynote presentations that they do. But then also so that if there's other content that they want to show, like video, TV, movie, whatever, they can show that as well.
Well, that was one of the things I was thinking about. Apple could possibly use – if Apple has designs – on the TV market, Apple could bigger designs than we've seen, I should say. Apple could well be planning on Apple could possibly need a top-notch screening facility. In particular, if one of the rumors that we heard a long time ago, and I really don't think this is in the works right now. I don't even give it a high likelihood of ever happening. But if Apple were to start producing original content a la Amazon and Netflix, it's quite possible that Apple would want a theater on campus to do screenings.
Sure. I think this could also play into John's idea yesterday that if Apple does make their own television, that they're going to do it in such a way that they're bringing something premium to their customers.
You get to go to their theater?
Yeah, you get to go to theater.
Buy an Apple TV. And
well, what I was thinking was, what if Apple has partnerships with different studios? And so part of the promotional thing for new programming that's linked to Apple's television plans in some way involves special media screenings and stuff. Now they have a state-of-the-art facility where they can do that.
Sure. And Apple already does concerts. They usually do those outside in the right. Is that correct, John? Do that in the
you mean in the quadrangle?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And maybe Apple might want to do some of its employee parties, concert events, entertainment events, reward events for the employees. Maybe Apple would want to do that in this theater. Apple has certainly had musical performances at many of its musical events. I'm sorry, many of its media events. So Apple could, this will no doubt be an excellent concert venue. It'll probably be one of the finest concert venues in the Bay Area.
You know, when you think about trying to spend that money on hardware, though, I don't, my mind doesn't drift towards the kinds of events, but it drifts more towards what they want to do and what physical facilities might be required. You know, it might have a giant sunroof or, you know, light coming through the ceiling for effect or something, and shutters like at tennis courts and football stadiums where you can open and close it, control the light. You might have an extensive system of rigging overhead where you can do special physical effects like in normal theaters. You might have warehousing and ramping behind it so that you can bring in Lamborghinis with, you know, Apple. What is the car thing?
CarPlay.
CarPlay, you know, demonstrating that. And so you might have to have special air conditioning and venting, you know, to drive vehicles in there. So those are the kinds of physical things I'm thinking about that could consume a lot of money.
I'm kind of hoping that the first band that plays in there is the Macworld All-Star Band. Just saying.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we have another topic that I want to make sure that we hit today. And okay, so it's no secret that I've been using Apple Pay pretty much since the iPhone 6 was released. Actually, that's not true. Ever since we got the update that allowed us to use Apple Pay.
8.1.
And now, John, you have gotten on the Apple Pay bandwagon.
Big
time. Loving it.
I'm loving it.
And you've done a little bit of research to figure out some of the ins and outs of Apple Pay.
You know, I love the way this rolls out in layers. You know, we peel away the features like an onion. You know, at first there's Apple's presentation, and then there's the iOS 8.1 update, and then we start playing with it a little bit at Panera Bread and work out the kinks. And then we find out, oh my God, this guy went into Whole Foods and he had to sign. And then you get the forums where people go, what is going on here? You know, Apple Pay shouldn't require a signature. Hmm? What?
Are you saying that Apple Pay makes people cry?
Makes like them cry and joy.
Oh, I see.
So, and then you get people whining on the forums about, oh, you know, I had to go in and I bought this little thing at such and such a place and I had to actually sign. And then Eddie Q goes on a shopping spree to advertise Apple Pay, and he points out that, you know, there's a certain dollar amount you may have to sign above. And so the layers start to get peeled away, and I was wondering about this fixed dollar amount. So I called my own banks and asked about it, and boy, they were really forthcoming too. I mean, they just couldn't wait to tell me all about Apple Pay and filled in everything, filled in the cracks and answered all my questions. And one of the things I learned is that there's this complex multiple tiers of fraud prevention and options, starting from, for example, you know, Visa Corporate, all the way down to an issuing bank, and then all the way trickling down to a merchant. And every one of them has this historical complex system of options where the issuing bank can set up rules. The merchant can decide at one point you might need a signature. A fraud prevention situation might kick in where one store has been attacked or been a victim of a lot of fraud lately, and there'll be an alert turned on. And so you go into that particular store, no matter what you buy with Apple Pay, you're going to have to sign. And so it turned out that both banks told me that both cards I use on Apple Pay, that there is no fixed dollar limit. It's much more complicated than that. It's really tied to their fraud prevention algorithms and local store policy. And that local store policy can change across stores. For example, Whole Foods in Denver might say $50 you have to sign, but Whole Foods in San Jose might say $100 you have to sign. So there's inconsistency across common merchants, and there's inconsistency across policies from the banks. So that's what I learned, and so it was a kind of a revelation to hear what their thinking is, about when you may or may have to sign. And apparently, Eddie Q's banks have some sort of fixed limit in dollars, but maybe he's using a different credit card than issuer than I am. So I kind of wrote that all up and kind of laid it out, and it was a kind of a fun piece of research because it's just another folding away of another onion layer about how this all works.
So what it really comes down to is there is no set standard for when you're going to have to sign for a credit card transaction or not.
Right.
There are variations between companies and banks, and that can go all the way down to a specific cashier on a very specific transaction even.
Yeah, the cashier, if their cashier is nervous or they don't like the way you look, they can punch a button on the cash register that says require a signature.
And what I find interesting about that is that the signature itself really doesn't do anything to stop fraud. I think your thumbprint is going to be far more effective at that than scribbling a signature on a digital pad.
Right. A lot of people don't want to do a formal signature. This is an electronic signature. You scribble your signature on the pad. And some people don't like to use their full legal signature because they're allergic to the idea that their official legal signature is being captured electronically and could be misused. And so they have their sort of own informal signature, like maybe they initial on the pad or something like that. But the banks still have ways of using that technique. According to one of the readers, they can still kind of use this as a refresher and say, hey, look, have you signed like this before? Do you think this was really you? You know, and sort of a low-level, non-legally binding reminder like, you know, hey, we really think you signed this. Does that look familiar to you? Something along those lines.
Yeah, which to me seems to be a lot easier to say, look, this was your thumbprint, and no one else has your thumb. So there you
go. You know, the banks may have happily greeted Apple Pay, but their technology behind the scenes to be more modern may not be there yet.
So basically, banks still use stone knives and bear skins to process transactions.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, we're like pretty much out of time. So I guess that means we're going to have to wrap up for the week.
Rightio.
Yeah. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining me today. And John, thank you too.
You're very welcome.
And thank you to Smile for being our sponsor this week. I'll have a link in the show notes to check out their software and be sure and go buy their stuff because they're a really good company and they deserve it. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here yet again for another week, and we will see you again on Monday.